Hello and welcome to That's What She Said. This episode, we're celebrating International Women's Day, which took place on Friday the 8th of March, with a special guest interview. I, Hannah Thacker, spoke to the wonderful Megan Price about supporting women through her arts cooperative, Swark Creative, and the Manchester Women's Institute, plus a load more fabulous feminist topics. As always, the episode was introduced with our official jingle by Matilda Air, and listen out at the end for this episode's track, which is Lauren Hibbard's What Do Girls Want? Would you like to tell the listeners who you are and a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name is Megan Price. I run Swark Creative, which is my own illustration business alongside a co-op shop, basically, on the third floor of Afflecks. So we have 12 Manchester-based artists. That's pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. And today is International Women's Day, which is great. It's literally my favourite day of the year. What are you doing to celebrate?
Loads, actually. Manchester is good for International Women's Day.
Definitely.
I actually can't do everything that I want to do. So me and the eight other girls that we have at the shop, so eight female artists, we've launched a limited edition print for International Women's Day. The theme this year is Balance for Better. We've done a print, like, each interpretation of the theme. Tonight I'm going to She Power at Gorilla. One of my friends is actually, she's an amazing photographer. She's speaking on a panel tonight.
That's cool.
All about creative women and women in business. So I'm going there this evening. And then tomorrow, there's a brewery in town called Runaway, and they are relaunching a beer that we made in collaboration with the WI this time last year.
Oh, what's the beer called?
It's called Lady Grey IPA.
Ah, very nice.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So you mentioned there that you've got eight female artists at the at Swark Creative. For you, was it important moving ahead into the co-op that you were supporting other female artists?
Yes, 100%. There's 12 of us in total, but the girls obviously massively outnumber the guys.
Yeah. So it makes a change.
Yeah, I know. It's probably in the creative circles that I know in Manchester, I would say that women outnumber men anyway. But the women tend to be less sure about themselves in things like applying to be a part of a collective like ours. So we get a lot of very confident male artists who, you know, are really just going to put themselves out there. And the women are a bit more, you know, nervous about applying for that kind of thing. So, it's mostly emerging artists, people who haven't had the work anywhere else before. So it's really important for me that we provide a platform for sort of new and emerging artists, especially female artists.
Yeah, because they need a bit of confidence.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was Deborah Frances White on The Guilty Feminist, probably from somewhere else, talking about how women are much less likely to apply for jobs they're actually qualified for, whereas men are more likely to apply for jobs they're not qualified
for.
Yeah,
I read the statistic. I think it was like women think they should have 90% of their skills on the job spec before they'll apply, whereas men will apply when they've only got like 60% of the skills.
Yeah.
So yeah, I see that. I pretty much get that, people applying for the shop.
Yeah, I think that oftentimes is expected as well. Like when you apply for a job, I feel like women are put to the test a lot more than men, that men can just like sort of like talk their way through it.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's a very social thing, and also hashtag not all men. But
yeah, hashtag not all men for you guys. But yeah, I totally agree with that. I think as well it's the confidence that they have in selling themselves. Women are the worst at it generally. You know, they're like, oh, I kind of do a few drawings on the side, but you know, it's not, I don't know if they're that good. And whereas guys are like, here's my artwork, it's amazing, you should bring me into your shop.
Yeah.
So it's not even just about how well they really fit the role, it's more about how well they believe that they fit the role.
Okay, interesting. So you mentioned your Balance for Better project. Do you want to give a shout out to the women that are involved in that?
Yes, I would love to. So I have to go like where they are in the shop, like visualize the walls in my mind. So we've got Annalise. She's an amazing digital artist. Her piece is like duck's feet on some scales. That's right in the center of the print. Then we've got Lulu. She's an amazing calligrapher. Next up, we've got Kira. She does dot work. That's her specialism. Mm. Absolutely amazing detail. Then we have a collage artist, Local Hotel Parking. That's what she goes by. Her piece for the collab is quite different to what she'd normally do, but really powerful. Then we've got Nicola Fernandez, really colourful artwork. After that, we've got Nia. She does like really detailed sort of monochrome inking. And then we've got Sophie Haywood, and she's our latest artist. She's only been with us about 4 weeks, maybe. So I was really excited she was in time to get involved. And then we've got Katie Neild as well. She does gorgeous floral artwork. She does a range called Booze and Birds as well, which is like gorgeous birds with cocktails.
Oh, that's very cool. That's very cool.
I think that's everyone. Are you counting?
I was not counting. It's fine. We can always give them a shout out.
They will never forgive me if I've missed one of them off.
Oh, I love that everyone's like bringing something different to the table as well.
Yeah, that was really important to me because as well, I think women are pitted against each other enough as it is. Mm. So if I brought two female artists into the shop who have very similar styles, I would just be feeding into that, and that's not something I want to do. So we make sure that everybody has really different, distinguishing styles within the shop.
Yeah, obviously you're really passionate about sisterhood, so much so that you have a tattoo.
I do.
So for the listeners, it's like heart with sisterhood across, little arrow coins. It's very cute.
Yeah, that's our Manchester WI logo.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I was gonna ask, like, what does sisterhood mean to you?
I think I really found the meaning of sisterhood when I joined the Women's Institute. Mm. For me, it's about women raising up women, especially giving a voice to women that don't necessarily have one. I'm very aware of my privilege, and I like to use that to sort of give a voice to people that aren't as privileged as myself. And I think that that's something that I found at the WI, is like women bringing up other women. I don't think until probably I was in my early 20s, I realised the value of female friendship.
Mm.
And then once I did, I was like, wow, this is really like life-changing stuff.
Yeah, I think exactly the same. I didn't have like really any close female friends until I went to university. Obviously 18, you're still young.
Yeah.
But then I realised, and I had like suddenly a big group of girls, and just that, even though, you know, that seems like something like really juvenile and like everyone goes through that, it did make such a difference.
And yeah, it does.
I think that inspired my sort of like going on to find like other women now as an adult.
You know? I think once you realise the benefit of it, you just want more of that.
Yeah. Like,
it's so amazing to feel empowered by the people around you. And I was definitely guilty of being like one of those girls that was like, oh, I just get on with guys better.
Yeah, same here.
Girls are drama and all that kind of thing. And it's purely internalized misogyny.
Yes, it wasn't
until I kind of had that realization, like, why do I feel like this? Because I don't think I actually do feel like this. And then I built some really amazing female friendships. And then once I was in the WI and I was in a room with like 100 women, I was like, yes, this is amazing. So yeah, that was kind of the start of it for me. And now I just wouldn't have it any other way.
Obviously, Manchester WI, as you say, is a big group, going to go with that word. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people, when they hear like the Women's Institute, they still think of like jam making and bake sales. But what would you say to people now? What could they expect from a modern day WI?
I think there is still a lot of WIs that are like that, mm-hmm. Especially more sort of suburban ones. Like there is one locally in Didsbury, and I know that's probably a bit more traditional. Because we're a city centre WI, the Manchester one is probably more diverse, I would say, especially age-wise. So we have members probably from age 18 up to like late 60s. So it's a much more diverse group. We still do, you know, like normal things like baking and knitting and crochet. I've done all of that with the WI. But like I mentioned before, we've made a beer and we had a burlesque show at one of the meetings. So it's definitely a bit more modern.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not to say that the more traditional ones, like there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a book club, like that's not, you know, super edgy, is it? You know, it's like pretty traditional
hey,
stuff.
Hey, bookish broads, it sounds edgy.
Yeah, it does. As long as you've got a good name, yeah. I think anything sounds cool.
I think that's something about Manchester WI, it's like, it's got really like fresh graphics, like the events sound really cool. There's a lot of like different things on offer. So it is more, it just seemed more inclusive and
yeah,
I suppose
definitely.
Appealing to younger people
as
well.
Yeah, and our WI gets involved in Pride, which not a lot of WIs across the country have done historically. That's changing because obviously cities want to invite groups like the WI into be a part of the parade. But yeah, our WI definitely has a focus outside of just sort of what you'd expect, really.
Mm-hmm. And what is it? How does WI get involved with Pride? Because I didn't know that personally.
So we've been in the parade for 4 years now. And it's really important because I think typically maybe the LGBT plus community doesn't think that the WI is for them for whatever reason. I think people have this idea that it's for like straight middle class white women,
mm-hmm.
older women probably. And so we want to really let people know, and this is our whole message and our whole reason for being involved in Pride, is that anybody who identifies as a woman is welcome in our WI. And I think people wouldn't typically expect that. So it's really important that we let people know that it is that inclusive.
Yeah.
So yeah, we started doing it about 4 years ago and it's amazing. It's my favourite thing about being in the WI is being involved in Pride.
And do you think it has had that effect where you found like more people who are, you know, non-binary or transgender coming to the WI?
Yes, definitely. It helps for us to make links with that community. We've had speakers invited in from the community, you know, for us to get a better understanding of how best we are to diversify.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we get a lot of people coming up to us on the day speaking to us about, you know, getting a membership because they just didn't realise it was for them and that it was so welcoming to literally everybody.
I suppose it can be quite intimidating, like walking into the WI space, but what you've done there is you've gone into the Pride space.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's like, okay, we're on a level.
Yeah,
let's
exactly.
have a chat about
because
it.
Because also they might not find us, you know, so we want to go there and be like, hi guys, come and meet us and come and find us and let's talk and let's find out ways to, you know, sort of integrate our two communities.
Yeah. Oh, it's great to, you're so passionate about WI. It's like,
yeah,
so,
I
it's
love
so
WI.
Heartwarming. So getting onto sort of the broader topic of feminism and women in the world right now, this is kind of an out there question, but
okay. If
there is like one change you could make that would better the lives of women, you know, no limitations on this, what do you think it would be? I know, it's a biggie. No, there are no wrong answers.
I think probably one of the most helpful things would be to remove the stigma surrounding feminism. Mostly because I know women myself who would not like to call themselves a feminist, although I know their values are feminist, but they wouldn't like to say that, so wouldn't be that vocal. You know, if your stance makes you look like a feminist, they don't really want to be associated with that. Because you very quickly can be accused of being a feminazi, which is like my least favourite word in the
world. It's so grossly offensive.
Yeah, wrong on so many levels.
Yep.
But I think if people were to just sort of like accept it as it is, then we would have so many more allies working towards the same goal. And I just think it's the stigma that stops a lot of people from doing that.
Mm. I've definitely experienced that where people have like come up to me like, are you a feminist? And it's like, yeah. And then they've laughed in my face.
Yeah,
and
it's like, crazy.
You asked the question. Like,
yeah.
I didn't come over to you like, by the way, hey, I'm a feminist. I need to tell you all about feminism.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I don't see what they're getting out of it. But there's also, But I think you're right. A lot of people don't really understand the term in its simplest form. And it's like, people who are probably feminists don't actually know they are.
Yeah.
So I don't, we get the word out.
yeah, exactly. And then the thing is, like, if I said to somebody, do you agree that we should put a stop to FGM? They would be like, yes, of course. Right, okay, that's aligns with feminism. But they'd be like, oh, no, but I'm not a feminist.
Yeah.
I read a thing once and it said, maybe it was Aziz Ansari. Maybe that's a controversial reference. But he was saying, believing in equality for men and women but refusing to call yourself a feminist is the same as being a skin doctor but refusing to call yourself a dermatologist. It's literally just, like, that's as simply as you can break it down.
That's a really good, I'm going to use that.
Yeah, feel free to take it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I totally agree. It's that defensiveness, and I think it's definitely a result of patriarchy.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, let's get rid of that.
Yeah.
You've spoken about your creative collaborations, but are there some other smaller, more practical, more accessible ways that we can support women, you know, do things that better the lives of women around us?
I guess there's like literally billions of ways. The first thing probably is just to address your own internalized misogyny, like I said before. Once you get rid of that barrier, the sky's the limit, really, as far as I'm concerned. It just opens everybody up to be able to support each other. And then, again, just look at your privilege. We've worked quite a lot with Every Month and Monthly Gift Manchester. Mm-hmm. Both with the WI and as SWARC. We take donations at the shop of sanitary items, which we sometimes drop them off at Oklahoma in town. Because, you know, to us, something that could be £1, £2 here, you've just got to stop and check yourself and say, there's people that could really benefit from this. So every time you buy a box of tampons, just buy an extra one and then you can donate it.
Probably a deal on, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's better for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, just even if you just introduce that mindset into your everyday life, suddenly you are just supporting the women around you with very little effort, really. It's not rocket science.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Every Month and...
Monthly gift. Yep.
And obviously some listeners might not know of these particular charities or why they exist.
Yes. So both are Manchester-based and both focus on period poverty, specifically with homeless women. So I think Monthly Gift is mostly homeless women. Maybe I'm getting them mixed up, but I'm pretty sure Monthly Gift, their donations go to MASH, some of them, which is a Manchester-based charity. And then every month they work with schools to sort of get sanitary items in schools for students who would otherwise miss school because they don't have, access to all the funds for sanitary protection. So I just think that period poverty is something that goes so far under the radar and is happening on our doorsteps in Manchester. So if we can ever do anything to raise the profile of that or help them directly with donations, then we always do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think we don't really realise it. And, you know, there's been a big uproar about the fact that sanitary products can be so expensive, that they are taxed as a luxury item, which is insane.
Yeah.
And that there are girls out there who maybe come from like difficult families, or they personally don't have access to money in order to buy things, or they don't have anyone that can help them.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are these organisations that do need to exist and do exist, which are wonderful.
Yeah, they're really amazing.
I've just volunteered to be a driver for every month as well.
Amazing.
So hopefully, I literally just got the email reply back today.
No way.
So hopefully that's good.
Cause that's a good day to get that email as well on International Women's Day.
They must have been in the mood for it with all of the good feels in the air. All right. So as a long-term follower of That's What She Said podcast, thank you so much for that, by the way. You may have caught our book review episode, which is That's What She Read.
Yes. Love books, you know me.
So I want to ask, what's on your feminist bookshelf?
They're actually right in front of you.
They are right in front of me.
So this one that I've just started here, this is a collection of poems written by women. It's called She Is Fierce. And the collection was put together by Anna Sampson. I love poetry. Mm-hmm. I really fell out of love with poetry. I think school made me hate it. You know, when you have to study those anthologies like over and over.
School does ruin books for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it ruins everything for everyone. But yeah, so really fell out of love with poetry. And then for Christmas, actually, I got that book. And it's so nice just to dip in and out of that. I'm that kind of reader. You know, like I need to be able to pick up and put down a book. So that is absolutely perfect for me.
I haven't heard of this before, so I'm gonna definitely have a little look for that.
That's a good one. And the cover is gorgeous.
It's called She Is Fierce, Brave, Bold and Beautiful Poems by Women.
Yeah. And then this other little one here is just, that's Emmeline Pankhurst's life story. It's basically extracts from her biography. But it's just sort of cut right down. I like
little
to carry
pocket
that
one
in my handbag, yeah.
Ah, okay. Have you read the Emmeline Pankhurst one?
I have. It's a lot. Mm. It's obviously written a long time ago. So from a reading point of view, it's kind of heavy going. Also from a content point of view, it's kind of heavy going. So I would definitely recommend the extracts book for anyone that wanted to kind of know the story, but without really delving straight into the full book. But yes, I have. I like to carry that one around as a summary of it, though.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah, and obviously we recently got the Emmeline Pankhurst statue in Manchester.
Yes.
Big moment.
Yeah, I was really excited about that. I went to the unveiling of it. I was super excited. And also, they unveiled another suffragette statue in Oldham on the same day of Annie Kenney. So it was quite nice, really, because a lot of the people that went to the Emmeline unveiling just got on the tram and we all went to Oldham.
Oh.
Like, literally, pretty much a tram full of women who then got up in Oldham just in time to go and see the unveiling.
I'm really, really happy they did the two, because obviously Annie Kenney was, like, a bit more working class.
Yeah.
And I feel like represents Manchester in a different way.
Yeah, and I think possibly that Annie Kenney one might have gone a little bit more under the radar if it wasn't for the fact that they were both on the same day.
For sure.
Because people were really making a day of it.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what we did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was amazing.
So we've covered books, we've covered art, music, because, you know, we love music at the podcast.
Love music.
HQ, whatever. I don't know what I'm saying. Just words come out. Do you have a feminist anthem?
Ooh, great question. Right now I'm obsessed with Janelle Monáe.
Yes, wonderful.
I'm going to see her at Castlefield Bowl. I think Pink is an amazing feminist anthem. So I'd probably say that for right now. Most current.
That's an up-to-date one.
Yeah, I've had loads over the years.
Yeah.
Starting with, like, Spice Girls. but yeah, Janelle Monáe right now.
That's good. I like a current one, because a lot of the time people, like, hark back to, like, 70s, 80s, 90s, which are obviously great. But yeah, it's good to know. We've still got these songs going on now.
Yeah, they're still happening.
Yeah. Well, pretty much covered all my questions. But, you know, before we wrap up, is there anything, like, you'd like to say or any... think you'd like to promote?
I briefly mentioned earlier the beer that we've done. So it's a Manchester Women's Institute and Runaway Brewery collaboration. It's really tasty. And that's relaunching at the brewery tomorrow.
Okay.
So that's Saturday 9th.
Saturday. This will go out on Monday.
It's
already happened, but that's great because it means it's out and you can go and get some.
So it's going to be in... bars around Manchester.
Wicked.
So ask for it wherever you go.
Yeah.
And then hopefully they'll just keep on producing it. Some of the proceeds from the profit that they make on that goes into a bursary fund at our WI, which they then use to fund members' like education. So if you want to apply for funding for a course that you're doing or a qualification and things like that, you can apply for funding from this bursary. So
that's
the more
great.
Of the beer that we sell, the more money is in the pot for the members to apply for. So they'll be selling it in shops, in bottles, and also you can get pints of it in
Lovely.
Places around Manchester. So keep an eye out for that.
Yes, definitely. Go order yourself Lady Grey IPA.
Yes.
Which is just so fun to say as well.
So fun to say. I call it WIPA. I think that's really catchy.
Yeah, is that everything?
Yeah, everything. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much.
Happy International Women's
Day. Yeah, woo! This is in the past, but yeah, the feeling, it just goes all year round, really. All right, cool. Thanks so much. So this was another episode of That's What She Said podcast. Be sure to follow us on the socials. We are That's What She Said Pod on Twitter. That's What She Said _podcast on Instagram. And That's What She Said podcast on Facebook. Would you like to shout out your socials?
Yeah, it's at Sport Creative on everything. So it's,
that's handy.
Yeah, really easy to remember. It's SWALK Creative.
Wicked. All right. See you next time, everyone. Girls play sports in skirts and boys just play till they get hurt and maybe that's just why.